Another area where we need to be careful is, be careful not to be wise in the things of this life and not wise in the things of God. Turn to Matthew 16, just the next chapter. Interesting story in your pew Bible. It's on page 660. You should still be right there. Verse 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. They wanted a sign to prove who you are. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. We've all heard that saying, something like, red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies at morning, sailors take warning. There's even one from history that substituted shepherds for red skies at night, shepherds delight. Red skies in the morning, shepherds take warning. People have been predicting the weather based upon looking at the sky for thousands and thousands of years. And did you know that there's some justification for that? I had to look this up. One of the heads of the National Weather Service said there is scientific evidence for the truthfulness of that statement. So it's not just something that our ancestors said. There's truth to it. You see red skies at night, it's probably going to be a nice day tomorrow. You get up and see red skies in the morning, probably not going to be such a nice day. The Jews apparently had a similar saying. We don't know exactly what it was, but Jesus refers to it here. And his purpose in quoting it was to show that the religious leaders in Israel were wise when it came to ordinary things. They were wise when it came to the things of this life, but not wise when it came to spiritual things. They could tell you about the weather, but they couldn't tell you what God was doing in the world. He said, you can't discern the times. They could tell you, hey, tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day, good day for a picnic, pack your things. But they couldn't tell you that God was working in Israel through the Messiah. It's easy for us to be wise in the things of life and not wise in the things of God. There is nothing wrong with being wise in the things of this life. Farmers need to understand the skies. They need to be able to tell when it's going to rain or when it's not going to rain. They need to know when it's going to be bad weather and when it's going to be good weather. The problem with the religious leaders, and this can be a problem for all of us, was their failure to also be wise in spiritual things. Listen, we can easily fall into that trap. Many Christians can tell you the latest thing that happened on their favorite reality TV show, or about who won the Emmy Award, or who won the Golden Globe Award, or who won the Oscars, but they can't for the life of them find the book of Nahum in their Bible. They can't quote more than three verses of Scripture. They can't explain why a person should be saved and how a person could be saved. We know a lot about our culture. We know a lot about life, but we know so little about our Bibles. Did you see what Jesus said about people like that? He said they're hypocrites. They pretend to be one thing when in reality they're over here. Be careful not to be wise in the things of this life and not at the same time be wise in the things of God. Well, the fourth thing that we learn about hypocrites from the words of Jesus in Matthew is be careful to love God, not just to say you love God. Turn over to chapter 22, and in your pew Bible, that's on page 666. Some of you will love that. Matthew 22 and verse 15, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Jesus in his talk, in his words. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. He said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now the purpose of their question was one thing and one thing only. Look at verse 15. They went and plotted how they might entangle him in his words. They wanted to trip him up, to get him to say something that they could use against him. You see, if Jesus had said, yes, you should pay taxes to Caesar, all of the people in Israel who are under the heel of Rome, who are under the occupation of Rome, are going to be angry with him because Rome was stealing their money. Rome was oppressing them, and it would put him in bad with the people he's trying to reach. If he said, on the other hand, no, you should not pay taxes to Rome, they're going to go to the Romans, and they're going to turn him in as an instigator, as a rabble-rouser, and he's going to be in trouble with Rome. Now, what's important in this exchange is how they stated their question. Did you see it? Look at verse 16. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you're true. You teach the way of God in truth. You don't care about what anybody says about you. Jesus, you're true. You teach the way of God. You teach the truth. They didn't believe any of that. If they really believed that he came from God and that he taught the truth, they would have followed him. This is hypocrisy at its highest. They pretended to be one thing when they were in their hearts another. They pretended to honor him. And they said flattering things about him, but it was just words. Their hearts were far from God. And their actions demonstrated that they didn't love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. In fact, I found it interesting that Jesus said those exact words on this same day, just a few hours later. In verse 15, we have this exchange we read about between Jesus and the Pharisees. Go down to verse 23. The same day the Sadducees came to him and asked him about the resurrection. Another question to trip him up. Jesus didn't fall for that trap either. In verse 34, the Pharisees came back and they tried again. When they heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came back again and asked him, Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You see, it's one thing to say you love God. It's another thing to show that you love God. Words alone do not prove that you love God. It takes words plus actions to show that you love God. Their words were, we honor you, we love you, we respect you, but their actions demonstrated otherwise. And when we face situations where our faith comes into conflict with our culture, we need to make sure that we are not just saying words. We need to make sure that our actions line up with our words. We say we love God. That's a good thing to say. We say we love God. But then some Christians do the meanest and the nastiest things and say the nastiest things about people who don't agree with their moral position. We have examples of people who have burned down abortion clinics. We have examples of people who have shot doctors who provide abortions, of people shouting the vilest things at gay people as they parade through our cities, of people telling jokes that demean those who don't agree with our moral position and at the same time call themselves Christians. It's no wonder our culture sees us as hypocrites. We need to be careful that when we say the words, "We love Jesus, I'm a Christian," that our actions also say, "We love Jesus, we're Christians." The last area that I want to give you is be careful not to have a sense of self-righteousness. Turn over to Matthew 23 in the Pew Bible. It's on the same page. Matthew chapter 23 and look at verse 13, where Jesus again uses this word hypocrite. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Whoa, some pretty strong words. Here was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. They had turned righteousness into legalism. Legalism is when you struggle to keep a list of regulations, a list of do's and don'ts, a list of rules so that God will love you more. I don't want to break anybody's bubble here, but do you know God doesn't love you because you keep a list of rules? Now, rules are good, but we don't keep them so God will love us more. God doesn't love you because you kept your list of rules this week. He loves you because that is His nature. He is a God of love. Your position with God and how much God loves you does not depend on anything you do. It depends on what Jesus has already done. The self-righteousness of the Pharisees was seen in the rules that they imposed on the people. It was seen in their long, showy prayers. It was seen in the restrictions that they made everybody in Israel live by. They had a self-righteousness, and that is contrary to the righteousness of Jesus. God does not want us to live in our self-righteousness. He wants us to live in the righteousness of Jesus. They thought they were righteous because they had this long list of regulations and they kept them faithfully, meticulously. But as Jesus said to them, their self-righteousness shut up heaven. Not just for themselves, but for those who wanted to go in. Paul says something similar to that in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Let me read that for you. Romans chapter 10, in the first three verses, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a great zeal for God." Listen, you can criticize the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, but you cannot criticize them for their zeal. They had a great zeal for God. Paul says it right here. "But not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Did you get what Paul said? Do you know when and why we try to have self-righteousness? It's because we have a lack of knowledge. We don't know the Word of God. We don't know what God said. We don't know what Jesus did. It is easy when we begin to lecture our culture on right and wrong to become self-righteous, to hold ourselves up as a model of what is good and what is holy and what is right, instead of holding up Jesus as the model of what is good and what is holy and what is right. Whenever we begin to hold ourselves up as the model for people to follow, or our church up as a model for people to follow, we are stepping into the realm of hypocrisy. Right is right, not because we said it's right, but because God said it's right. And we don't do it because we are so good. We do it because God is so good. We aren't holy because of something within us. We are holy because God has given us the holiness of Jesus. It's no wonder that our culture sees us as hypocrites. Be careful not to have a sense of self-righteousness, because we aren't righteous. God is. Jesus connected hypocrisy to these five things: not being spiritually genuine, putting your standard above God's standard, being wise in the things of life and not wise in the things of God, not loving God, just saying you love God, having a sense of self-righteousness. Listen, let's not give our culture an excuse to call us hypocrites. The last thing on your outline that you can fill in: have a genuine spirituality. Make sure God's standard is a standard that you're living by. Be wise in the things of God. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And have the righteousness of Jesus. When those five things are true in our lives, we will not be in danger of falling into the realm of the hypocrite. Now, I will gladly give you that you can do these five things and someone may still say you're a hypocrite. But you're not worried about what they say. You're about what God says. And if these five things are true in your life, God will not say, "You hypocrite." My sense of the world is that as Christians, we will come into conflict with our culture more and more and more. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I don't say that to be pessimistic. That's just where I think the world's going. Paul says in 2 Timothy that in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So on the teaching of the Word of God, I think I can say that. But we don't want people to reject Jesus because of what we do and what we say. The offense of the cross is a big enough offense. We don't need the offense of Christians. And so, be genuine in your spirituality. Don't be a hypocrite. Make sure that you're living by God's standard, not your standard. Don't be a hypocrite. Be wise in the things of God, not just in the things of this world. Don't be a hypocrite. Love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. Don't just say it and be a hypocrite. and have the righteousness of Jesus, not your own righteousness. That's what a hypocrite does. Father, as we think about these things today, we see what Jesus had to say. We realize that sometimes we're guilty of some of these things. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Help us not to be like the hypocrites, but help us to take these five areas and make sure that they are a reality in our lives. So when people look at us, they see Jesus. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll ask the